Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So what is most valuable in this world? We've seen things have decreased value as of late. The dollars that we have don't buy as much as they used to. They don't seem to have the value that they used to have. What is valuable? And in the midst of that, we might try to think, well, let me find what's going to hold its value. Is it land? Is it this mutual fund, that index fund? Is it this particular investment? What is it that's going to hold its value? Because I see my money, what I'm earning, what I'm being given in my paycheck, having less and less value in the world. What has value? What is valuable? Well, it would seem that having more and more assets, more and more money, is most valuable. And it looks, in today's gospel reading, like the rich man at first has the thing that is valuable, at least valuable in the eyes of the world. He has enough money, enough resources, to be able to feast sumptuously every day, to dress well every day. It looks like he has it made. People have valued either his labor or his existence. Perhaps he's the beneficiary of a big trust fund that he's inherited so that he can live it up. He can live in comfort. He can have what he wants. He can have servants. He looks like he has it made. People count what he does, what he offers, as valuable. And so now he can sit back and he can relax and enjoy life. And it looks, on the other hand, like this poor man is not valued. Doesn't look like he even has health insurance. Nobody wants to take care of him. He's lying there at the rich man's gate and he has sores all over him. And the dogs are coming and licking him. He can't even fend them off. And he longs just to have some crumbs from the rich man's table. This poor man, it looks like, is not valued himself. And he does not have what is valued in the eyes of the world. And so he doesn't have it made. He is not comforted. He is not taken care of. But then we see that the tables turn. Both of them die. And the rich man dies and is buried, and he goes to Hades, to hell. The poor man dies, and he is carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom, to Abraham's side. That's a symbol for heaven. He goes to heaven to be with Christ. And he there has good things. He has peace and joy and happiness. And the rich man, on the other hand, is in anguish, in torment, in the flame. And all the money that he had on this earth, all the comfort that he had in the luxurious living, the fine clothes and the great food, that cannot make up for the fact that he is now in Hades. He simply wants some cool water put on his tongue. He would just like that because he is in such torment. This is more heat than we had this week. The heat we had this week pales in comparison to the amount of heat and anguish that this man is going through in Hades. So after seeing that, we might say, well, what's really valuable here? Maybe what's really valuable in the long run is not having money, being poor like the poor man. But that actually still misses the point about what is really valuable. It isn't here about money, actually. It isn't about having lots of money or having nothing. Money is not the determining factor in going to heaven or to hell. So then why does money seem to be the thing that's highlighted? What is Jesus addressing? For that, we have to look at the context. We have to look at whom Jesus is speaking to. Who's his audience? And what's their issue? And why does Jesus address things, create this story, and set things up in this way? Well, if you were to look back in your Bibles a few verses earlier than the pericope that you actually have set apart and selected in your gospel reading for today, you would see that Jesus has just told another story about money. And the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, were listening in, and they ridicule Jesus for it. And Jesus responds to them by telling them that you are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Jesus tells them that they are justifying themselves in the eyes of men. What does that mean? To justify yourself is to try to say that I'm right. I'm good. I'm okay. And they're justifying themselves not in the eyes of God. They're justifying themselves in the eyes of men. That means they're saying, I'm good and right according to what other people say is good and right. And in their day, as well as in our day, it would seem that the people who are successful, who have it made, who are doing well, the people to be imitated and studied, are the people who have done well financially. We glorify the rags-to-riches stories. The people who went from nothing and they worked hard to become the CEO of the company. They did well. They invested right. They invented something. They found what that one thing is that people really wanted. And they worked hard at it. And we commend that as good. And we want to imitate them and do what they did. And to have what they have. But to say, well then, money is the thing we need to go for. And if we have money, then we're good. And to compare ourselves to others based on the amount of material comforts we have is to justify ourselves in the eyes of men, just like the Pharisees did. But Jesus points out then that God knows your hearts. God isn't looking at the amount that's in your bank account like other people might look at. He isn't looking at how nice your house is or how well remodeled it is. He's looking at your heart. And then he points out what is exalted in the eyes of man, or what is exalted among men, is an abomination in the sight of God. What man looks at as really good and what man looks at as success and achievement, that you have it made, that you've done well, that you're to be imitated and looked up to, you're the person to be sought after and commended. The things that man idolizes, those are an abomination in the sight of God. And was this just a problem for the Pharisees in their day? No, certainly not. It's still the case that when we have money in our bank accounts, when we have enough income, when things are going well financially, usually we're happier. When there isn't enough, when we lose our job, we don't know where the money's going to come from to pay the next bill, usually things aren't good. We're not happy. We're stressed. We're anxious. We're worried. Many times it is easy for our emotions to go up and down on the basis of our bank accounts and our 401ks and how things are going financially. Yes, we have the same problem that Jesus' audience has. We have a problem with being lovers of money. And we need to repent where that is, where we do that and where we love that. and where our joys and our happiness come from our finances. Where we consider that all our good comes from this thing, from the amount of money that we have. We need to repent if we have made that thing our idol. We should be willing to give it up. And Jesus sets up a man who seems to have all of these things, who seems to have it made. And for the people of that day and age, he would probably have been a good Jew. Indeed, as we hear from the end of the story, his family has Moses and the prophets. They have the Word of God. They probably would have considered themselves good sons of Abraham, good Jews, the chosen people. But the thing that they really loved was not the Lord, who had called Abraham and called them to be his people, but the thing that they really loved was their money. The thing that they really saw is that from which they get their good, their happiness, their comfort, was their money. That's the problem that Jesus is identifying in this story. It's not simply a person being rich, but a person loving their money and seeing it as the source of all good. Because after all, in our story, we see that the poor man is carried to Abraham's side. And Abraham, we know from Scripture, was a man who was very wealthy. He had money. But as we look back in our Old Testament reading, that was not the thing that makes him righteous before God. What makes him righteous before God is that he believed God's promises. That he said yes to what God says. And it says that God counted that to him as righteousness. That's what made him right with God. He believed what God said. He said yes to it by the power of God. Only by the power of God could he believe that. And then here, going back to our gospel reading, the poor man is not saved because he is poor, but because he shares the faith of Abraham. This is why he is carried to Abraham's side, it says. He shares the faith of Abraham. He believes the promises of God, even though things are really bad for him during this life. During this life, he's weak and sick. He doesn't have health care. He doesn't have much food. He doesn't have all the material comforts that the rich man has. But he trusts in God and his promises, despite that. He does not say, "How can there be any good in loving God? Does God really care for me?" He does not blaspheme God or reject God. But he trusts in God and his mercy and believes that the Lord will take care of him. Even though his whole life on this earth, as far as we can tell from this story, is one of pain and suffering and difficulty, and there isn't comfort and joy and happiness, it looks like, to us. He is looking forward to the life to come. He trusts God's promises that God will take care of him in the end, and God does. He delivers him there to paradise, to his presence, to be taken care of forever. This is what our Lord is teaching in this story. Is that what is valuable is not the amount of money that we have. And that we should not put our trust in having lots of money or in having no money. We need to put our trust in our Lord and his promises in Jesus Christ. That he will deliver us. And so then, what is really valuable? To go back to our original question. What is really valuable? Well, at the very end of the story, notice that the rich man wants Abraham to send Lazarus down to his brothers. Have him rise from the dead. Do a miracle. So that they will wake up from their love of their money, their love of the things of this world, and they will believe. But what is Abraham's response? He says, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. But the rich man says, no, this isn't, he seems to say, this is not going to be enough. They need some sort of miracle, something amazing to wake them up. And Abraham says, no. If they will not hear Moses and the prophets, then they will not believe, even if someone should rise from the dead. So what is the really valuable thing then? The really valuable thing in the end of the day is the Word of God. That is what creates faith. That is what people need to hear, is the Word of God. That is what not only creates faith in hearts, but also sustains faith. Because presumably, these guys, these brothers of the rich man, had all been circumcised. They've been brought into the people of God on the eighth day. But yet they had fallen away. They had loved their money and trusted the things of this world. And they had died spiritually. And what they needed was the Word of God. And that is what every one of us needs. We who have been brought into the people of God through our baptism and have been born again, who have been given new life, we can fall away. We can die as Christians. And so the really valuable thing is not having a lot of money, is not having a secure retirement, is not having a great house or a great car. The really valuable thing is having the Word of God, because that's what makes the difference between eternal comfort and joy and happiness and peace and eternal suffering and pain and death. Even if you were to give up the things of this world in order to have the Word of God, and you didn't have a great retirement, you didn't have a great job, you didn't have much here on this earth, even if things were as bad as they were for Lazarus, it would be worth it to have the Word of God. Because that is the crown jewel. That is the greatest thing. That is the treasure beyond all treasures, because that is the means by which our Lord creates faith. To have our Lord's word of forgiveness that says your sins are forgiven and are washed away. To have His promises. To have His word of law that calls you to repentance for sin. And to have the sweet gospel of Jesus' forgiveness that He won for you on the cross. This is more valuable than anything else. And that's what you receive here today. And every week. And it's what matters more than anything else. Because everything else will pass away. Everything else that is esteemed here in the eyes of man is an abomination in the sight of God. The idols of this world will go away. But the word of the Lord will stand forever. And it means peace and joy and rest for eternity. So come here in faith today to receive that forgiveness, the thing that is really valuable, that you may have life here and forever. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.